Well, firstly, one has to be able to cater for different levels. So the leader or leaders, and we often have two, needs to be able to handle an advanced amateur photographer or an advanced semi-professional, and somebody who's a complete novice who thinks, "Oh, I've always rather liked to do photography. I know nothing about it. I haven't even opened the box in which my camera came, and so I'd like to go on this trip." And so the photographer, the leader, has to really juggle. So day one, morning one, is always spent establishing who knows what. And the person who knows very little has got to feel brave enough and is really well looked after, has got to be able to say, "I don't know anything about photography, but I know I feel excited about it. So can you help me?" And the leader jots that down and then goes round the room, and within an hour or so, he or she has pretty well established who knows what. And then for the remainder of the week or day or 3 days, that leader is able to cater for that particular person. And it works really, really well. It really does. And sometimes you ask whether there's time off. There definitely is. But dawns are very thrilling. And I think for a photographer to miss the beauty and the wonder and the amazing nature of a fine dawn in a Tuscan landscape, I'm not sure whether they'd be as enthusiastic as I'd like to think they would be. Likewise, at dusk, stunning raking light across the landscape. So one wants a degree of enthusiasm and exceptionally high quality leaders who really do look after the photographers who join us, partly because they want to get vicarious pleasure from seeing their success. And that's pretty good. When somebody says, "Look, I got that image," the photographer leader's sometimes quite jealous.
Painters favour some parts of the world, Cornwall, for instance, because they say that the light is better. So, do you find that as well with photography? There are certain places that you go to because there is better opportunity to take better photos.
Well, it's another good question. Actually, Kerry, the light is as good as it is wherever you are. And whatever, however one defines good light, that's a really big question. Because, sometimes very low levels of light diffused by an early morning mist or very hard, sharp light for architecture, because we do quite a lot of urban and architectural places. We go to some of the big cities in Europe. And of course, London goes without saying. So, really, good light is really, really hard to nail down. And the best thing is to say that the light that's good at the time is good for the photographer who wants that particular light. So, having said that, Cornwall, we're so proud of Cornwall, North and South Coast. You often find two different cliques or groups of people who say, "Oh, North Coast is much better," and some people say the reverse, "The South is better." They both got their attributes. But to go along the north, well, the Southwest Coast Peninsula path would be pretty good from Poole to Minehead, I think it is. That's pretty good. You'd certainly get a lot of coastline if you wanted to do that walk. But Cornwall is absolutely cracking, I quite agree. I should say that we don't do great long hikes. We're not an adventure travel company. But we do walk, we don't just rock up in a bus and all get out and photograph, and within minutes we're back in the bus and off we go again. We might spend 2 hours doing a photograph, and looking up and looking at the sky and to see the way it's behaving and the way it relates to the land beneath. So all of the considerations, rather like a painter, would consider, or a cook, would consider what goes into the meal as opposed to just chucking any old flavouring in. And any old ingredient, and hoping that what comes out at the end will be enjoyable.
Now, when some people take up new hobbies and interests, they splash lots of cash, they spend a lot of money investing in kit. If you're passionate about photography and want to come on one of your sessions, but you don't have that much money, is it going to be a problem if you don't have a really expensive high-end camera?
You ask very good questions, Kerry. No, it's not. You'd probably expect me to say that because really, the essence of good photography, well, the essence of all photography begins with one word, the P word, P for perception. Photography is about seeing, and it's definitely not about pointing £100,000 worth of photographic equipment at a landscape. If I were to say, if you bought a Rolls-Royce, would you be a better driver? And the answer is no. So really, it's about seeing, it's about interpretation, it's about investigation, it's about discovery, it's about relishing the landscape, having a sense of wonder, being completely drawn into the beauty of the place that you're in, a sort of contemplative, meditative experience that from which you emerge feeling enriched and reborn. And then if your image that manifests from that exchange in some way evokes what you felt at the time, then your image is a success. And if it fails, which it often can, to awaken anything in the viewer, then the image has not perhaps had parity with your pre-visualization. So the kit, no, you definitely need a reasonable camera. 200 quid would buy you something perfectly adequate. And when you think of the photojournalists in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and early 60s, they'd often just have one lens, one camera. And their images weren't blown up to enormous size. They'd often appear in a magazine or a newspaper.
What's been the nicest compliment you've heard about one of your courses, or perhaps the most gratifying experience that you've had?
I can't quote word for word, but it was something along the lines of, I never knew photography could be so artistic. And for me, that was an incredible line, because the whole thing about photography, sadly, it, over the years, it's earned the reputation by some of being, you know, well, you're bound to get something, you've got 36 goes. And if you remember pre-digital, we had film, and people would say, well, you know, if you do enough, something's bound to come out. And with landscape, it's all about preparation and understanding of what you're looking at, and then making decisions, creative decisions. So I think for somebody to say, I didn't know photography could be so artistic, is wonderful, because really the camera is, as I say, a creative tool which enables you to express your response to your world around you. I think photography's, unfortunately, it's got a, not a bad name, but it's now everybody's photographing. The world is photographing, you know, millions of photographs for Facebook and Twitter and all the rest. But nevertheless, the landscape photograph, Ansel Adams, the great landscape photographer, used to say 12 a year and you're doing well. And if you ask yourself what those 12 are, they're usually images that had parity with his pre-visualization. And those 12 were his images that where he found he had to make the least number of compromises, in my view. And so the images were nearly perfect, but never quite perfect, because nothing ever is, but nearly perfect. And so I think that's pretty good going. I'm not sure I can claim 12 a year, but we have some wonderful photographers who I'd like to think would probably concur with what I've been saying. Some superb photographers. We've got a chap called Paul Sanders, who's the ex-editor of the Times newspaper, who for 10 years sifted through thousands of images a day. Wonderful photographer called Joe Cornish, who used to work for the National Trust and still does, very distinguished photographer. A marvelous photographer called David Ward. We have a pretty good mixed bag, really, photographers with their own specialism. And their main concern is, you know, really to satisfy the person who wants to learn. And it's pretty rewarding when you can deliver an absolutely mind-blowing landscape, let's say Tuscany, again, to somebody who knew Tuscany was beautiful but didn't know it could be that beautiful, like a, you know, Renaissance painting. So it's you know, really lovely, that comment. Photography is artistic. Jolly well right it is.
Are lots of people who come on your tours solo travellers? Because I guess it's quite unusual to get two people in a relationship who are both passionate about the same thing.
Good question. Very good questions. Well, there it is quite unusual, but we do have quite a few photography couples. They're really good fun, actually, because they sometimes get rather competitive. And in the evenings when we look at one another's images, if there's time to do that, you sometimes find one says, well, I didn't see that, darling. Where were you when I did that? You know, so we get quite a few amazing couples who really do love doing photography together. But generally speaking, that's not the case. What I would add, and many would say, well, that's of no consequence, but there are many more women now photographing than there were men. You know, 25 years ago, it was probably, I would think, 10% women. you know, out of really was 10% men, forgive me. And now there's so many more women photographing. It's wonderful. And is there any difference between a male a photographer and a female? Who's to know? But what is good is that the women are not so obsessed with the equipment. And I find that really, really refreshing. You know what us boys are like. We get a watch for Christmas, and within seconds we've taken the back off, and we want to know how it works. I'm not saying there aren't women who want to do that too, but in the main, they want us to get the image, and that's really, really refreshing. We often have an exhibition at the Mall Galleries in the Mall for the whole organization, and that's where people have an opportunity to show their images, because we have to print out, Kerry. We have to make prints of the images we're making. Otherwise, we're going to leave them to nobody and no one will ever see them. So we have to make prints. People need to buy photographs. Photographers need to buy photographers' work. And it's really important to print out the images that we make. And it's a wonderful way of engaging with the work by standing there alone, perhaps, looking at an image that might be, who knows, 3 foot by 4 foot, and to really be able to drink it in and enjoy it. And I think it's pivotal to photography to print out the images and exhibit. And charities, you know, link up with a charity and have a small exhibition somewhere. And that's a lovely thing to do. So getting photography out there is really what Light and Land likes to do through all the people who join us.
Out of all of the places you've been, where have you found the most beauty?
That's a very nasty question, but I will...
I didn't ask you which was most beautiful, though.
No, you didn't. If I defined my understanding of beauty, my interpretation of beauty, it would be probably pastoral, mixed with semi-wild, you know, not necessarily, you know, the remote. And what provides me with that, I suppose, so far has been the country that I think is one of the most unexplored countries in Europe, if not the world, which is France. I still think France is absolutely jam-packed with unknown areas. I find Tuscany absolutely glorious, where you can sort of look at a landscape and feel that it might have looked that way for, you know, a few hundred years. So, you know, a brand new modern aluminium barn in the middle of a beautiful Tuscany landscape might not appeal to me, but it might appeal to other people, you know, to set up a contrast, very much so. So Namibia, I found when I first went to Namibia, my friend Joe Cornish went there very much earlier than I did, and he encouraged me to go, and I was really pleased I did. I thought Namibia was absolutely earth-shatteringly beautiful. It's one of those places where you think nothing has ever happened, but everything happens there. You come back a changed individual in the way that India can do that to you. So I think France and Tuscany and Namibia, certainly for me, I found Cuba really lovely when I used to run trips there, not just Havana and Trinidad and the you know, the well-known places, but some of the countryside in between those towns. So there are still South America, a little bit in Bolivia, found really lovely. But Britain, you know, Britain is still good. There's so many more than still good. I'm saying still good. You don't need to go to the great Mecca up to Glencoe, which all landscape photographers love to go to. I've discovered a beautiful avenue of trees 12 miles from where I live. I've lived here 35 years and I never knew it existed. So go up a road, go without a map. If you're a photographer and maybe you're thinking about photography, just take a camera, take a tripod, no map, and just tootle around, either on a bike, but ideally a car, because you can get there quicker. It's difficult to reconcile car travel with landscape photography, but on the whole, that's what one has to do, unfortunately, in the real world. And with no map, and just explore and look over the hedges, stop and have a little peep, and before you know it, you may well find some wonderfully rewarding images right outside your back door.
Charlie, finally, how can people get in touch with Light and Land?
Well, thank you for asking. We have a website, obviously, www.lightandland.co.uk, and we new website is coming along. I think the fourth in our history, and we welcome telephone calls for people who want to ask about a particular trip and what camera they might have to have and what filters, and to get over that hurdle of, oh, I don't know whether I'm good enough. And the worst one of all is, oh, are you all anoraks? You know, if I said the nature of people we've had market gardeners, we've had a policeman, we've had a neurosurgeon, we've had a solicitor, we've had interestingly enough, a rocket designer. So you name it, but people who just love to use that camera in a way that perhaps they didn't think was possible. So lightandland.co.uk. And anyone who wants to enter a competition or look at the beautiful landscape of Britain, which Visit Britain support, as do Network Rail with our exhibitions, Waterloo Station, have a look at take-a-view, takeaview.co.uk. And there you'll see a fantastic selection of images of the United Kingdom, photographed by people from all over the world, celebrated in a book. We're coming up to our 10th anniversary. And that really, really is a wonderful demo, if you like, of the incredible talent in landscape photography that we've got. And Take a View has got all the images from the past 10 years, all the winning images, the highly commended, the judges' choice, and so on. We have some very distinguished judges who help us go through the quite tortuous process of deciding who the winner is going to be. So two websites, really, lightandland.co.uk and take-a-view.co.uk, to look at the Landscape Photographer of the Year competition. And I urge people to enter it, because the winner gets £10,000.
Charlie, thank you.
You're welcome, Kerry. Thanks for having me on, as they say.